Good evening, everyone. On mass day, like, the nice part about preaching is just that feeling when you get to take off your mask. Like, it's really, really, really good. So I'm really, really thankful for this time. But not just, obviously, to take off my mask, but I don't take it lightly to, you know, stand in front of people and to share a message. You know, so it's quite a heavy thing, you know, because I really feel this is the word, you know, that God is. Has given me a word that's on his heart for us this evening. So I just want to say that I don't take this lightly. So if it's okay, I'm just going to start by praying and just asking the Lord. And I know that he's here, you know, but just to come nearer and we can continue. Okay, so Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you are God of peace. God, we thank you that even in the most hectic of times, Lord God, we're overwhelmed by emotions and overwhelmed by the things that are going on around us. We thank you that, as the word says, Father, as you step in, that you come in, Lord God, you show up in splendor. And God, we thank you that even tonight that we can feel it, Lord, that you have shown up in splendor, Lord. And even while my God is, I'm just going to share this message, Lord, I pray that you'll be glorified. I pray, Lord God, that it will bring you honor, and I pray it will bring you glory, and it will come out all the way that you want it to come. Come on. So we just want to give this time to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome stuff. I'm just going to set up a timer just to make sure that I stick to time. But I'm quite excited just to share this word tonight with us. It's really something that's been, actually that the Holy Spirit has just been sharing with me, just this whole lockdown. So I'm really excited that, I had an opportunity just to share it. And I think it's been such a crazy time. I mean, all of us, I think, can attest to the fact that there is so many things that are going on around us. You know, I don't know about you, but there has been moments, like during this lockdown or during this time and during this year, where I felt overwhelmed, you know, like where I just felt like, man, there's just too many things happening, you know, at just such a rapid, you know, pace. Like, it's not like things are happening, but they're happening so fast that I can't keep up with everything that's happening. And for those of you guys who watch the news, you would have realized that about three, four days ago, you know, there was a massive explosion in Beirut, which left so many people devastated, people losing their lives, people losing their homes, you know, people losing jobs, people losing all sorts of stuff, you know, and I'm just like, you know, like it's so heavy, you know, like just to see everything that's been going on, you know. And to be honest, like at times you may ask yourself, like, oh Lord, where are you, like in all of this? You know, it seems like it's really a mess, you know, like where are you? Like are you acting, like are you busy, you know, in this time? And as I say, like it can get really, really, really overwhelming. And I think, you know, all of us have been through some type of a storm, and if you haven't gone through some type of a storm or a challenge or anything, I just want to come in and burst your bubble tonight to say that you will go through something. You know, that you will, you know, like whether it's maybe COVID-19 has an impact in any way, you know, maybe you've been fine, you've been flourishing, you know, God is good, you know, and all of those kind of stuff. But I just want to say that there will come a time where something will happen. So tonight, I just want to speak about finding hope in the midst of storms. Finding hope in the midst of storms. And without, you know, getting too ahead of myself, I really just want to say, like, I mean, that song was such a, it just set in my heart, you know, that God, you show up. You know, you don't have to come, but you always do. And I think actually it just sums up, like, this message, you know, that God really, he doesn't have to come into our situations, but he's such a faithful God that he always do, you know. So we will face stuff, we will face trials, we will face tribulations, you know, the word that Martha said in John 16, verse 33, a super encouraging word that Jesus gives to his disciples, as he's just departing and going away from them. He says that in this world, you will have many tribulations. You will have lots of troubles, you know, but he says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. You know, take heart, be of courage, because I have overcome the world. Even if it seems like you're in a dark pit, you know, and that nothing, you know, like it's going to, you know, come right, or, you know, it doesn't seem like there's a way out, you know, but
take heart, knowing, you know, like that, that he has overcome the world. So this is like on a rough note, you know, for my wife and I. I just want to, you know, share a bit of that story. So last year we felt like the Lord was leading me or transitioning me from, you know, my job. I work for a place at Skets, which is up in this Yonkersuk Road. And I've been there working there for the past 10 years, four years full time. I moved from Bloom to come here. And then last year, we felt like the Lord is saying, you know, that season is coming to an end. It's been good, but, you know, we're going through a transition now. So this year started, and we felt the Lord saying, you know, one of the things that we need to do and that I should do is to start studying, you know? So for those of you guys who are students, you know, and those who are not students, you would know that it takes a lot of money to study. You know, especially Stellenbosch much university. I mean, tuition fee is quite a lot. And I got the shock of my life when I had to buy books at the beginning of this year. I was like, oh my word, like, is this the price that people pay for textbooks? You know, that was really, it was overwhelming. And on top of that, we moved to a new place here in Stellenbosch, you know, so that meant deposit money and all those kind of stuff. So there was just a lot of expenses, you know, like that we had to just incur at the beginning of this year. And then, so at the beginning, we also felt in January, we felt like, okay, in order for us to stay above, you know, float and to survive and all of that, I would have to, you know, just start something small. So I started a team building company because it's something I'm really, really passionate about. So we had lots of nice projects that were lined up, and we thought, man, we're going to be, you know, everything's going to be good, everything's going to work out, and we'll have the money that we need, and all of that. And then in March, COVID-19 hit, you know, and when COVID hit, you know, it meant all of the projects that I had were instantly obviously cancelled. And then on top of that, you know, my wife came home one day and she said, hey, we've been put on, not on retrenchment, but on unpaid leave, which is just a fancy word of saying you are on retrenchment, but we are afraid to tell you that you lost your job. You know, that was pretty much, in her case, what it was, you know. So she came home, so she was paid on, they said, hey, putting the whole company on unpaid leave until further notice. And for us, we didn't know further notice meant for the next 4 months. You know, so to say the least, if you just sum this all up, it meant that we were in trouble financially. You know, like, it was just a whole roller coaster ride for us. You know, like, there were moments where we looked at each other and we're like, oh my word, we are in serious, serious, serious trouble, you know. And we've incurred so many costs, you know, like, and we're just overwhelmed, you know, by emotions. You know, we're overwhelmed by just what we're feeling around us. And I can tell you that there were many feelings of hopelessness, you know, like, where we really, like, we're like, man, we just don't see a way out. Yes, we have faith and we know that God will provide, and says he's a provider, all these things. But at that moment, you know, it kind of like feels like in a dark hole, you know, and there's no one to sort of just take you out of this thing. You know, that's how it felt at times. But now, as we look back, as we reflect, obviously, on God's faithfulness and how good it is, and how the fact that he always shows up and that he always comes, like, we can smile. And really just give God all the glory that he deserves, because realize that it had nothing to do with us. The fact that we're here and that we made it had nothing to do with us, but with the fact that God wants to transition us from a place of hopelessness, you know, to a place of hopefulness, you know, and he wants to transition us from a place of, you know, putting our hope in external things and putting our hope on him. You know, so really tonight, I just want to say there's no other hope, you know, that we need to have. There's no other thing that we can hold on to. You know, they always say there's always light at the end of the tunnel. You know, that light for us is Jesus. That hope for us is Jesus. So you may be sitting here tonight, and maybe, as I said, COVID-19 hasn't impacted you, but maybe there's some of you guys here tonight who maybe you've gone through a depression of some sort, you know, like during this time as the roller coaster life is just going on, or you know of someone, you know, maybe close to you, gone through a depression, or even parents, or just someone that you know that's very close to you was infected by COVID-19 or any other thing. Maybe there's other stuff that are not even related to COVID-19 that has happened in this time, you know, and I just want to tell you guys that the good news is, you know, God won't leave us in those spaces. You know, God won't leave us in those dark holes or what sometimes feels like a dark hole, you know. That He wants to transition us, you know, to a place where we have hope. So tonight I really just basically just want to share three things for us, just out of scripture, and it's so amazing just what Marsha shared now, because I felt like it just created a perfect foundation for that which I believe God wants to say to us tonight. So as we look at scripture, in the book of Jeremiah 29 verse 11, this is a book, I mean, I promise you, probably all of you guys, like, you can quote this scripture, and like, someone can wake up in the evening and you'll be able to, like, just, you know, just write out, you know, just quote it, and all of that. It's a very popular scripture, and a lot of times, I know, like, it's being misused and abused and all of that, you know, but the first thing that I want to say, as we're just going to look at the scripture tonight, is, you know, it is God's desire to fill us with hope. You know, and what I want to say with that is, if there was, you know, a cheerleader, or even if there was someone in your corner tonight that wanted you to have hope tonight, you know, then God will be that person. You know, like, it's His desire, like, He earnestly really desires for us to live with hope, you know, not to be in a place of hopelessness, you know. So He wants to bless us, and He wants to give this hope to us. And in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, we see it this way. Israel itself, they find themselves in a difficult spot, in a bit of upheaval at that time. But even in the midst of, you know, just this overwhelming place that they find themselves in, you know, we see God just speaking in their situations, and He says the following in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, and to give you a future and a hope." You know, this is incredible. You know, just in the midst of really, yeah, just a difficult time that they were experiencing, yet God still speaks and He says, "I know the plans that I have towards you, and the plans that I have, it's to give you a future and it's to give you a hope." You know, God wants to give them a hope. And tonight, the first thing that I want to say is, this is the same for us, that God wants us to give us hope. That it doesn't matter where we find ourselves in, or where we'll find ourselves in the future. You know, maybe it's not for now. You know, maybe this message is a message that you'll, you know, remember, you know, a few years from now. You know, but I want you to just keep in mind that God wants us to live with hope. That God wants to give us hope. So that's the first point. And I think this hope that God gives us, you know, it's something that He gives us, and it's something that makes us realize that He is in control of our lives. You know, because, I mean, with the things that I've mentioned right now, sometimes it just feels like there's so many things going on, and we can't even keep tabs with just our own struggles, or our family struggles, or our friends, and so many things going on in the world. But even in the midst of that, and this is a word that Dean brought, I think three Sundays ago, you know, to say that even if things are overwhelming, just know that God is in control. And I think this is the same thing that He wanted to tell Israel, that I am in control, that I have those plans, and I want you to live a life of hope. So to move on from there, the second thing that I want us to look at in the Word is, it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we have hope. And I think we'll see it clearly, you know, in the scripture that I'm going to read right now, because I think a lot of times, you know, we think that this hope, you know, like, it's something that we should conjure up, you know, it's something that we should just work it out of ourselves, or it's something that we should make happen. But we can see, you know, through the scripture, and this scripture is something that, you know, the Holy Spirit just put on my heart as we're experiencing these feelings of hopelessness during lockdown specifically. I remember one morning standing up to spend time with the Lord, and just before I could get out of bed, I felt Romans 15:30, and I'm like, okay, this is cool, like, you know, the Holy Spirit is speaking with me. Even before, like, I sit down in another room to spend time with Him. And then when I opened this up, like, it just blew my mind when I read this. You know, it's Romans 15, verse 13. And here, Paul is speaking, you know, to the church in Rome, you know, and he says that my prayer for you, you know, is that may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing,
so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may abound in hope. I mean, this, I remember when I read this, like, it just blew my mind that even in the midst of what I'm feeling, like, man, this is so difficult to bear, because one of the things that I dealt with is the enemy just brought all sorts of, you know, challenges or all sorts of condemnation and all those kind of stuff. One of the things that the enemy said was, you know, you're not worthy to be married to your wife. You know, you're not worthy to be a husband at this moment. The husband is someone that can provide, and at this moment, you're not able to do that. You know, so you're not a man. You know, so I felt like all these attacks just coming from all sides. You know, and it's amazing to, you know, to just, yeah, look back at it and to see it for what it was. And I even wanted to take advantage of how I found of what I was going through, and just the feelings that I was going through at that time. But as I say, this hope is not something that I can sort of stir up. That God uses different situations and different people to stir up that hope. And in this specific instance, God used Leonard. It was a random afternoon, and Leonard just gave me a call and said, "Hey, Godfrey, you know, like, I just wanted to tell you, man, don't take this upon yourself. Like, the fact that you guys are where you are, like, I just feel like telling you that it's not your fault. You know, the whole world is finding themselves in this situation." And I know, like, it probably sounds like, those are nice words, but for me, they hit deep. Like, I knew this was a message of God to bring hope and to give me hope in the situation that I found myself in. So it's not on us, it's not your burden, it's not our burden to kind of fake this hope, you know, to be like, oh man, I need to be more hopeful, I need to be more hopeful. No, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, that we can live a life of hope. He's the one that implants this hope within us, you know. So all we need to do is we need to just abide in Him. It's just to lean in, you know, it's just to press in, you know, and allow Him, you know, to just come and fill us with that hope that He wants to fill us with. Man, it feels like I'm like flying, like, through this thing.
Right. Good.
It's a good thing. So out of this scripture, like, we can see, like, out of Romans, it's a beautiful scripture. You know, may Paul says, may the God of hope, the source of hope, may He, you know, fill you, you know, so that you may abound in hope. So it's God's desire that we be a people that are overflowing with hope. That He wants to give us this hope. And for me, it's just like an incredible thought when I just look at my own situation and how my wife and I actually experienced this hope. But then, this hope that God gives us, I really believe that it's not just something for us. You know, it's not something just for us to hold on to be like, yes, you know, like, we are people full of hope, and we're hoping the fact that, you know, Jesus came and He is coming one day, and there's so many things that we can hold on to, you know, in Scripture, you know, but God gives us this hope in a time like this, or in a difficult space like this, you know, to reach out to other people as well. You know, because it's not just us right in here that are going through a rough time. Many people, you know, are seeing lots of questions. A lot of people are going through rough times, and people are asking themselves, like, what can I hold on to in this time? What is there any hope? Is there something worth living for in this time? And I believe, you know, that it's an incredible time for us, you know, just to step in and to just obviously encourage people. So the third thing that I want to look at is in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. And this third thought that I want to share with us is that God gives us hope so that we may reach out to others. And I think some of you guys have experiences. I know definitely, even with having lots of conversations with Lara during this lockdown, that there were many people, you know, that saw the hope that she had in her life. And people had questions. You know, people asked her, like, why do we live the way we live it? You know, and it's because people recognize this hope that God places in us, and there's something in them that really desires to have the same thing in us. So people come up and they ask for Kristen. You know, the whole world is in, as the Afrikaans word would say, is in red in the room. You know, like, the whole world is going through a massive time. Like, there's so many things going on, but it just looks like there's just something in you that's different from the way, you know, that you're handling this whole thing. You know, or maybe it can be in your family, maybe it's your friends, you know. And I know for some students in here, I know it was an overwhelming thing for me to shift from physical learning or social learning to online learning. You know, so that in itself, I know it was a difficult thing. so difficult that some people actually left their studies for this year. They said, I'm just taking a break for this year. I'll see you next year. Hopefully, we'll be able to meet, you know, face to face again. But the thing is, so many people are going through such a difficult time, and people are just looking for something to hold on to in this time. Just looking for that glimpse of hope in what seems to be, you know, just darkness, just where they find themselves in. So, as we look at 1 Peter 3, verse 15, it says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make any thanks to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and do it with respect." How beautiful is that? It's such a key scripture that it doesn't matter where we are, it doesn't matter what we're going through, like, we should always be prepared to make any thanks. Because as I said, like, we've had friends, we've had, you know, family members go through rough times, and we also went through the same rough times that they're going through, but somehow they can see that there's something different in the way, you know, that we're dealing with this thing and the way that the world is dealing with this thing. And I think it's clear to us that, I mean, we've seen lots of, you know, just things shooting out from just the town that we find ourselves in, because people are looking for something to hold on to. And that's an opportunity for us, you know. I love what Paul says in Colossians 4. And it's so incredible that he finds himself, I mean, chained up in a prison, you know. He probably knew that he was going to be executed or whatnot, but he finds himself in this difficult time. And in Colossians 4, he says, pray, you know, pray for open doors, that God may give us the door, you know, for the gospel. You know, and that boggled with me a bit, like it boggled my mind that Paul didn't, you know, send out a message to the church in Colossae to pray for him to break out of chains, you know, to pray for him to like, you know, get out of prison. But he says, pray that God would give us an open door for the gospel. I mean, how beautiful is that? And I really just want to encourage you that even in this time, that it's God's desire for people to come to Him. It's God's desire to draw people to Him. It's His desire that people will come to know Him. You know, because He is that hope. He is that hope that we hold on to, and it's His desire that people will find this hope that we sit with. So in this time, as friends and families, you know, come to you, and sometimes it won't be as clear. Sometimes it will come in the form of questions. You know, sometimes it will come, you know, in the form of, hey, I was just thinking about you, whatnot. But as I said, people just want, you know, like that hope. And it's for us, you know, to really see those opportunities that God gives us. Because in Colossians 4, Paul said, you know, we should make most of the time. He said that when God opens up those doors for us to be able to preach the gospel, then we should recognize those doors and we should take those doors, you know. So maybe God is creating opportunities for you in your family, or, you know, among your friends, or wherever you may find yourself in this time. So recognize those opportunities that God is creating you to bring hope, you know, in people's lives where people may find themselves in a place of hopelessness. So I'm just going to end the thing with this thing. So just to summarize tonight, that it doesn't matter where you may find yourself this evening. I don't know your situation. I don't know what's happened, you know, during this time. I don't know what will happen. I don't know what's happened. You know, sometimes maybe you still carry, you know, stuff from the past, and maybe some things have surfaced in this time or whatnot. I don't know where you are, you know. But luckily, or just not even luckily, you know, but through grace, you know, we serve a God who knows exactly where you might find yourself. You know, and I really believe that the message tonight is very clear, that God wants to give you hope. He wants to fill you with hope. So yeah, that's pretty much, yeah, just the message that I had in my heart, and, you know, just to say that God wants to come and restore the hope within you. So yeah.